Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, you're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. As always, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL, Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Today we're talking about the dating scene. Today's dating scene, WTF. This show was inspired by the tons of emails I've gotten over the past few years, really. Feedback after we do a relationship show, and whenever I bring up relationships, they tell me, you don't talk about the dating scene enough. You don't talk about the single scene. What about us folks who aren't in relationships yet and personal ones yet? How can we adjust and fix the scene? So after reading tons and tons of horror stories and of course my own experiences through life, we're gonna talk about the dating scene. But first, of course, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Keep doing what you're doing. Most important that we don't forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and make a difference. Get out there and participate. Get out there and be the change. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see. Be that change. Participate in that change. Get out there. Get out there and get out there. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I want to get to the show. Wow. You know, whenever you bring up dating, what is the primary thing we talk about? What is it that we talk about that people mostly say? They will mostly say it's hard to find somebody, hard to find somebody of caliber, of quality. It's hard to connect with someone who's being truthful. Truthful. I was speaking with somebody earlier today. It's the summertime, so I get to speak with some of today's brilliant minds who are looking for intern positions and positions at companies. And I spoke with somebody today, a brilliant young lady today. And I had said, you know, we're doing a show later about the dating scene. And I've received some, you know, horrific, some funny and some horror stories and the complexities and the challenges of today's single scene. And she looked at me and she says, well, the problem is that it seems that everybody's full of shit. And how true, how straight shooting from the hip true is that? It is absolutely true, and that is, I would say, 80% of the feedback. 80% of the feedback I get from relationship shows, or when I had put up a couple of weeks ago that we were going to have this show, 80% of the feedback and stories have to do with deceit. Deceit. And we all know. We all know. But we have to, let's not become pessimistic about this. You know, it's similar to resumes, especially when you're dealing with online dating. And online dating seems to be huge. And you have companies, these online companies, it's not just a few people on there. We're talking about millions. And some of the top online companies have over 20 million people on there. That is a huge sampling of humanity. It's a tremendous sampling of humanity. The problem is the integrity factor. We are not accounting for the fact that by nature, by evolution, we are adapting. And sometimes in that adaptation and that desperation in humans, we have, and again, the fact that we're marketed to from a young age, we are taught from a young age not to be content with who we are. You know, they can't sell you those image-enhancing makeup if they can't first convince you that you need your image enhanced. They can't sell you the image-enhancing clothing unless they convince you first that you need that. So we're bombarded by a marketing system that has us feel inadequate. We'll start there. Then we are naturally driven to couple with somebody. We are driven to relationship. We are driven to team. So whether you're driven to a relationship in a sense of a community, in a sense of like a church, in a sense of people lie when they go to church. There's a lot of people who go to church every week. They say all the prayers. They do all the stuff. They do all the communions. They go to the temples. They go through all the ceremonious stuff. And the truth is, they don't really believe what they're listening to. They just like that sense of community. So in that sense, they're lying. And we find this. We find this not only through community organizations. We find this in friendships. I'll often hear when we talk about friendships on this show, and I'll say, hey, sometimes you got to cut some people off. I'll get some feedback that says, listen, I know I shouldn't be diluting myself. I know I shouldn't be pretending I'm something I'm not, or I'm less intelligent than I am. I shouldn't be pretending this to keep my friends around, but I feel like I need my friends around. I feel like I'm driven to have my friends around, and so I don't mind diluting myself, and I know that it's bad, but I can't see myself breaking free from that. So we are driven in many ways. We are driven to be in community, in group, in couples, in relationship. But at the same time, when you mix that innate drive, that thousands and thousands of years of genetic need to be in relationship, when you mix that with the modern era of marketing where we make each other feel, you know, the marketing industry makes you feel inadequate, makes you think, that it tells women, this is what men like, it makes them think a certain thing. It tells men, this is what women like, it makes them think a certain thing, so that everyone's buying their products. But what we end up with is mixed match relationships. You end up with people saying, well, I was like that because I thought you liked that. And they say, no, I thought you liked that, so that's why I was like that. And you end up in these things, and what we don't harness, what we don't really emphasize in our community is the sense of communication, the sense of you're okay the way that you are. The sense of companionship becomes gone, and it becomes marketing and product and marketing and product, and then the rise. Of relationships going to disaster because of this. So when you have an online industry, so we have moved to an online industry. There used to be dating services that would do this, but now there's online services, and you can join any type of, there's all kinds of different dating sites. And you can join these dating sites, but there's really no integrity check. You can join this dating site, but it's still going to be a guy who's feeling inadequate and desperate who's filling out this information. It's still going to be a woman who's feeling inadequate and desperate who's going to fill out this information. Even if you don't consider yourself desperate at the time, you're not filling out this information and going through this and putting your credit card information in there. You're not putting it in there because you're disinterested. You're interested, and you're hoping this works. So if you go into something, sit with me for a second. I know this is uncomfortable for some people to hear because the truth always is. But remember, we're a family having this conversation, and this conversation is just is designed to empower us. You're not going to hear truth almost anywhere else. So just sit by, don't sit back and listen. The fact that you're participating in this online thing, you may not be desperate, but the fact that you're participating in it means that you hope it works. Even if you're just telling everyone else, oh, I'm just going on here just to see. I thought it's kind of like funny. I'm just going to see what happens, who I get, whatever. Whatever nonsense you're telling anyone else, inside you hope this works because who wouldn't? Who doesn't hope that there's some amazing match for them out there and they haven't found them, but through this magical online thing, they're going to find their match. So you go through the hopes of finding someone, and because of that, you will angle your words, you will angle your description of yourself towards selling. At that point, you're kind of selling yourself. It's similar to a job interview. It is not dissimilar to a job interview and resume. Most people sell themselves in their resume, so they make themselves sound more everything, actually. They make themselves sound more everything on their resume. And I've seen hundreds of resumes throughout the years of people applying for work and internships, etc., at A Better Today. So I've seen this. I've witnessed and I've read their resumes, and they can make the most mundane sounding job, the most mundane job, they can make it sound as if they were engineers at NASA because people amplify themselves in their resumes. And it makes sense because you're selling yourself in hopes of getting this job, in hopes of impressing your employer. So in that same mentality, it's a different situation, but the same mentality when you join these online dating things. You're putting in a personal kind of resume, a kind of a character resume that you also are amplifying yourself. And this is where all those stories I get come in. Steve, you know, they said, you know, this woman described herself as athletic. She described herself as athletic, and meanwhile, I met up with her, and it doesn't look like she had done a sport in her life or done anything. And then I even mentioned to her, hey, she said that she was athletic, and she said, well, I go for walks. That guy wouldn't describe that as athletic or particularly active that you occasionally go for a walk. But again, In filling out that process, you amplify yourself. So men, women would describe the same thing. You know, the guy described that he was easygoing, and the woman writes, and what I didn't know, that meant he never gets off the couch and he likes to play video games. So, you know, it's those type of things that are amplified and things that you don't mention. A guy is not likely to mention, hey, I sit on the couch and I don't like to do anything but play video games, even though I'm 40 years old. Most guys wouldn't write that because they're looking to get a companion. So a guy going on there is going to fill that out to almost to the point where they don't look at it as lying. You fill it out as like, I could be this guy. Like, I am with this guy. How many times do you hear this? With the right woman, I could be this guy. And women do the same thing. Well, I know I haven't exercised in years. I haven't gone to the gym in years. But with the right guy, I can be athletic. I can be active. So I'm going to go ahead and put active. And you won't look at that as lying. You won't look at that as inaccurate. But life doesn't lie. That's the thing. The mirror doesn't lie. So you're telling yourself a story. But when you meet that other person for the first time, they don't know that story. So they're just seeing you as you are. So when you put something that isn't true, they see it and they're going to think you lied, which you did lie. But you can justify it to yourself, saying, oh, I could be this. I could. So we find ourselves in the online dating world that's what happens. Another thing, a side issue with the online dating world is that there's a whole lot of married dudes on there. I'm sure there's married women on there. I'm sure there's married women on there also. But the majority of married folks on online dating things are married men. And they hold up, you know, a majority of the married people are men. Married men are more likely to join a singles dating online site than married women are. Well, that's a tremendous problem. That is a tremendous, tremendous problem. And as I know now, there's actually different sites now that married people can both go on. Married men and married women can go on, and they can go with the understanding that each of them are married and they're just going to have an affair. And for those of you sending in the website names, thank you so much. I'm actually intentionally doing my best to not mention any of those websites, simply because, first of all, I don't want to date the show. In other words, if I mention a website that 2 years from now doesn't exist, I don't want to date the show that way. And also, I don't want it to sound like I'm endorsing any particular site over any other site. So the reason I'm being vague about the types of sites and not actually mentioning the sites, even though they're huge and popular sites, is because I'm doing it on purpose for those reasons. So there's websites for married people specifically, but even on the ones that aren't for married people, the ones that are for singles, there's a whole bunch of married guys on there. So that's a tremendous red flag, because, again, there's really no way to validate this. So in the online dating scene, it becomes a tremendous challenge. How about on the non-online dating scene? Well, the non-online dating scene is still a challenge because, as the brilliant 19-year-old that I spoke with today points out, we're all full of shit. So that's also a problem. Folks, we have an integrity issue. It's not so much there are some people who lie purposefully and with the intent of deceiving and lying, cheating, stealing kind of thing. But there are plenty of others that are lying simply because they feel inadequate. Now, regardless of the reason, it's lying. It is. And this isn't even like a moral. I'm not saying this for a moral preaching ground that lying is the sin. I'm not saying it for that. I'm saying it is, from a relationship standpoint, it is next to impossible to have a healthy relationship, especially if it's built upon lies. If it's built upon lies, it's next to impossible to have a healthy relationship. The healthiest relationships are the ones that truth flows freely, and there's been a space created for truth to flow freely. That becomes difficult in initial interactions with people. Because it requires something. And it requires something more than integrity. It requires self-love, self-acceptance. And of all the things that I've read on the dating scene, and all the issues that I've read on the dating scene, most could be avoided, could be healed, could be strengthened, with self-love and self-acceptance. If you accept who you are and how you are, you don't have to lie to anybody. If you accept who you are and how you are, you don't have to lie on your first date, second date, third date. You don't have to lie on your online dating application. You don't have to lie on any other dating thing you do. You don't have to lie when you go on those quick date things, What are those things called? I might be dating myself. I don't know if they even exist anymore. You know, you see them in movies and TV, where you, it's like a bunch of people and they sit at a table across from each other for a little while and then they speed dating. Thank you. Speed dating. I don't know if that still exists, but if it does still exist, you don't have to lie on that. If you love and accept yourself, you don't have to lie about who you are. And it's not, about selling yourself as much as it is being content with yourself, because it's only then that the person you connect with at that point, then you know that they're liking you. It's not the version of you you'd like to be, the version of you you will one day be. They like who you are now. And that that I think is the most important basis for any relationship. If you can build on honesty, it is the that is the essence, the foundation of every solid relationship. You can go through anything as long as you're not bullshitting each other. When the relationships get challenging, because life gets challenging, everyone's relationship gets challenging. In life, everything gets challenging. So whether you're single, you're married, you're engaged, whatever it is, at any point in the relationship, your life's going to get challenging. And if you're in a relationship at that time, if your relationship isn't solid, you're going to have problems. For those of you who are married or been in committed relationships for years, and you know that life gets challenging, you know that life hits you in the face sometimes, imagine if on top of that you had to deal with inaccuracies in your relationship. Suddenly you need to lean on somebody who isn't the person you thought they were. Suddenly you're uncovering all kinds of lies and deceits. A relationship is doomed at that point. You become in a constant process of catching up. Why? Mending, healing. You have to heal the relationship. If you're healing a relationship, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because there is a deception hat. And all of these things, there's nothing. Everyone listening knows that the worst thing is to be deceived by somebody close to you. Well, what happens, we don't really know how to separate that. So even if you lied to me the first 2 weeks that I knew you, and now I've been with you for 10 years, when that lie becomes uncovered, it's as if you lied to me today. Our brains have trouble disconnecting that. So the best way to start a relationship is to be unapologetically yourself and to hopefully connect with someone who's doing the same. That those type of relationships are solid. And even if they end, even those are those relationships that even if they end, the people remain friends and they have that solid bond anyway because they were themselves and it just didn't work out. As opposed to the relationships that have drama in them, and the drama is always by someone not acting right, some lying, cheating, and stealing going on in there. The relationships that have drama, those are the ones that never see each other again. They throw their pictures out. They burn their stuff. Just all kinds of crazy drama. Today's dating scene is a challenge because in order to have a successful date, in order to build a successful relationship, whether the relationship is lasting for 2 hours on a date, for 5 hours on a date, or is lasting for 5 years or 50 years, the basis of the strength of that relationship is going to be the basis of how strong the individuals are entering that relationship. And you can't control the other person, but you sure as heck can control yourself. And the strength for you comes from your honesty with yourself, your forgiveness of yourself, the loving of yourself, looking at yourself and recognizing where you can be poison, where you can be nourishment, and acting, adjusting, and tweaking your own life and your own way that you conduct yourself accordingly. That is the only way and the best way to have a solid relationship, whether dating or heading on to be married. that's how that works. Now, I want to get into a couple. There's a couple things I want to get into. Particular stories. First, we can cover quickly the young folks. The young folks who write in, the late teens, early 20s. We'll consider you the young folks, okay? We'll bring the young, the late teens and early 20s. That's always a challenge, and I'll tell you why that's a challenge. It's a challenge because you guys are walking bags of chemicals and hormones. You are look how big you are. You might be 4 feet tall, 5 feet tall, 6 feet tall. Look at how big your body is. That body is filled with chemicals and hormones. And if you put your finger at the top of your in the center of your forehead, you put your finger in the center of your forehead, you have this whole body filled with chemicals. And these chemicals, every cell in your body thinks. Every cell in your body creates feelings and emotions, and they all have their own agenda. And different parts of your body have different agendas. It's very, very interesting how your body works. Your body is a mass of communication and a mass of chemicals and hormones, especially when you're in your late teens and early 20s. So imagine that whole full body full of chemicals, communicating chemicals and hormones, and then your finger, just touch it to the center of your forehead. It's in that little space in your brain, about the size of the center of your forehead, that has to process all of that. So you have this whole body full of stuff, and that little space that's processing it. That's why us adults, the older adults anyway, I don't want to consider you children, you're adults, you're just young adults. Us adults look at you and we think you're crazy. The reason we think you're crazy is because you are maxing out right now. You are maxing out on all your chemicals and hormones. All that stuff is 100%, because for years and years, and I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, it's at that age that they used to peak. This is when you would create as many copies of your DNA as possible. That means you'd have as many kids as possible. You'd be raising them. There'd be families. You'd be hunting, gathering. You'd be out tackling animals and killing them for food and shelter, and the women creating shelters and community environments. I mean, that was your peak. That's why we so drastically drop off in our 30s, 40s, and 50s. It's so the chemicals so drastically drop off, because we were really, as humans, as a species, engineered for that age that you youngsters are in right now. We were engineered for that age. So right now, you're just a huge bag of emotion and stuff, and with a very small processing. And the reason the small processing is there is actually on purpose, by beautiful design. Because if you were to think rationally, the human species would be dead. If I had to rationalize that I had to go out and hunt some crazy animal in its home, the jungle was its home, not mine. If I had to rationalize, I'm going to go to this thing's home where there's all over them and there's all kinds of animals, If I had to rationalize that, then what? That would be crazy. If you were to rationalize bringing more and more babies into this idea, that would make no sense. But back then, for the production of our species, it was important that we didn't rationalize so much. It was important because for survival of our species, quite a bit of non-rational thinking was important. We come here to later. We've advanced past that, and don't really have to run into the jungle to kill the food, and we have different ways that we maintain our society and our homes, and now, but we haven't evolved past that same bag of hormones and endorphins and adrenaline and all these things that are being processed by your prefrontal lobes. So in your dating scene, you're going to have a lot of deception. you're going to have a lot of irrationality. You're going to have a lot of it. This is where parents come in. The good people, the good men and women you're going to meet are the ones that had a good example, whether in parenting, teachers, grandparents. Those are the ones that are going to conduct themselves in a certain way. Some of them are maybe didn't have any of those good examples, but life itself served as an example. Some of you go through hardships. Some people don't go through hardships, and we all see how people behave who don't go through hardships. The people we feel that have that sense of entitlement and are kind of spoiled, we know how they behave because they haven't gone through hardships. And you see how quickly those people who have gone through hardships, how quickly they mature in that sense. Their sense of rationality and want and their drive and vision becomes clearer at an earlier age. So for youngsters, if you are one of those, and if you're listening to this show, you're one of those who has matured at an early age, you're going to either have to put up with the fact that everyone else is pretty much still cavemen and cavewomen around you. They're finding new ways to get drunk and have a great time and amplify the high. And because, again, that's what they are right now. They're just walking bags of craziness. But if you're someone who's listening to this show, there's at least a part of you that is sensing the rationality, sensing that there's a future, sensing that your behavior and conduct is vital for the way that you experience your life. You're going to have to sift through all that nonsense and recognize that there are other people out there like you, but they're probably in hiding like you. They're probably in hiding. They can't be too serious around their friends. They can't be too, because the friends can't understand. They can't communicate. And as far as that dating scene goes, it's going to be a challenge. It's not a challenge that isn't met, but it could very well be that challenge. And my advice to you is be the best version of you. It's really all you can do anyway. Be the best version of yourself. Continue to put yourself in situations and in environments that are conducive to attracting that type of person. I can't tell you how often I get emails from people and who are 20 something, and they say, "Oh, I can't believe I keep meeting the wrong guy and crazy and irresponsible and all this stuff." And I say, "All right, well, where are you meeting them?" "Well, at the local bars, the local clubs." "All right, so you're going to a place where people are drinking and out of control at odd hours, and you're wondering why you're not finding the match that you're looking for. It's probably not going to come from there. Not that those type of people don't exist in those places, but the majority of the people who go there aren't that. They're not that. So you're not going to find that. How often do you go to a place like that?" So sometimes I'll go back and forth and they'll say, what is it that you're looking for? Because a lot of times we know what we're not looking for, but aren't quite sure what we are looking for. And they may answer, "Well, I kind of want a guy who likes to have a good time, but at the same time, it studies, maybe goes to the library, maybe is reading books, the type of guy who would go with me to a bookstore, etc." That's fantastic. Well, when's the last time you went to those places? So you want a guy who would be in the library, but you don't go to the library? You want a guy who would be in the bookstore, but you don't go to the bookstore? So you're constantly getting the wrong guy because you keep going to the same place that makes the wrong guy, that attracts the wrong guy. And you don't even know. What's interesting about the dynamic is that you're at that bar also. So most guys, even if that guy is in that bar, he's not going to be acting like his studious, reflective self at the bar. Nor is he thinking that you might be doing those shots too. Meanwhile, you're thinking, "Oh, I wish some guy in here was serious and mature." But you're doing the same shots he's doing, and the guy is thinking the same thing. "Oh, I'm just going to keep doing shots, but so many women in here, but I wish some of them would go to a bookstore with me or a library with me." You're not that environment itself that environment itself isn't going to be conducive to bringing out the best in anyone. No one ever goes to the bar and says, you know, I really like hanging out at the bar or the club because it really brings out the best in people. No one has ever said that. So know this, that when you're going to these places, that's what you're going to. That's what you're it's being conducive to that. You don't go to a fast food restaurant. You know, there are people who complain about the salads that are offered at fast food restaurants. You're going to a fast food restaurant. Of course the salad's not going to be great. It's a salad at a fast food restaurant. Go to a place that specializes in healthy food, and I bet you they have a kick-ass salad. Salad will flourish in a healthy food place, and it will not flourish in a fast food place. But I bet you the fast food place has amazing burgers and fries. And that's logical for us. When we talk about the dating scene and going out and finding companions, it doesn't seem as logical, but the same ideas apply. The same ideas apply. Folks, we're talking, I don't think I'm going to take a break today. We're talking about the dating scene. Today's dating scene, WTF. So many emails and feedback I've gotten over the years about this, and I'm glad we're finally tackling this. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. You can check out our website, stevemaraboli.com. And also, every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. All right, so we talked about the younger crowd, the late teens, early 20s, and a lot of what I just said to them really applies to all of us. But as I move into the older crowd, myself included, as we hit the 30s and 40s and 50s, and we have a whole different set, usually. We have a whole different set because some of us have experienced more, and there are many folks that are younger than I am, older than I am, who have experienced already experienced marriages. You've been married and divorced already. You've got kids already. The older generation experiences a whole different aspect of dating scene. Some of the emails I get are how do I know if this person's honest? And it's important not only so that they don't hurt my feelings, but I've got kids. How do I protect my kids from predators that might be out there? I mean, there's a whole new world of things. How do I protect somebody from this? But something that I'd like to point out in this is something that I always found interesting. I always found interesting, and you know it's my favorite to point out our own nonsense. It's easy to say how we can deal with other people's nonsense. That's easy. What I love is tackling our own nonsense. So some of the things that I see in these emails and feedbacks is when people have been in relationships, or you've been in long relationships, maybe you've been married, maybe you've been engaged, maybe you have kids, and the reason you're not married and not engaged anymore is because there's some nasty thing happened, and it's somebody cheated, somebody was abusive, somebody was a constant liar, and it's so easy. It's so easy to point fingers. It really, really is. But you find in the dating scene, you find that, first of all, you're not out of that last relationship yet. Let's start there. And this goes for everybody. But let's start there, mostly for people who have that kind of, as they call, baggage. You will be talking to the new person that you're on a date with, and your gauge, instead of your gauge being you, your gauge is your last relationship, and more specifically, the last person you're with. In other words, your ex-husband or your ex-wife, your ex-boyfriend, your ex-girlfriend. You, instead of gauging yourself for this relationship, and instead of gauging the person sitting across for you from you. Instead of gauging their compatibility to you, your gauge is your ex. And you're giving a comparison between the person, the new person sitting across from you, and your ex. The comparison is completely off. The gauge is completely off. And before the person says the second word in your first date, this relationship is in trouble. Some people go out with somebody and they like them just because they weren't the last person they were with. And when that wears off, you find a relationship in trouble because the relationship wasn't based on the gauge on your compatibility with me. The relationship was gauged on the fact that you weren't the person who hurt me. You weren't acting like the person who hurt me. And that hurts all around the relationship because the second that person does something that the other person did, even if it's not with the same intent, even if it's not with the same maliciousness, even if it's not dishonest at all, this new person's already in trouble because of what the last person did. This new person's paying a debt, an emotional debt that the last person incurred. And you'll say, I keep finding this and I keep finding that, but it's not true. You're making an unhealthy comparison between two people who aren't connected. And you're forgetting to make a healthy comparison with the two people who are sitting there at that table. You and that person. That's it. That last relationship is gone. It may not be in your head, but in reality, we see it as gone. You're still living it. You're still in it. That is going to be unhealthy always. That is always going to be poison to a new relationship. When you bring the last relationship's drama in your mind, when you bring the last relationship's comparisons in your mind, that new relationship's going to suffer because you have brought over the poison and have injected it directly into the veins of your new relationship. That is huge. That is a huge deterrent. You don't know how many of possibly good people you've turned away or turned off because of that. There's nothing more frustrating. There's nothing more frustrating to be sitting across the table from somebody who's talking about their ex. Because you know that if we've just met, if we're just sitting down and having this conversation, and in all of your life you've had, let's say you're 30, let's say you're 40, let's say you're 50, let's say you're 60. So let's put it at 40 years old. So you've been alive for 40 years. You meet somebody new, and the thing you're talking about is your ex. In the 40 years of your life, the only interesting thing you have or the first thing you have to tell a brand new person is about your ex. There is a problem, and there's nothing more frustrating than that. And that's for people who don't know. If I'm sitting across from you and you start telling me about your ex right away, then I already know that you're telling me about a relationship that you're still in. You may not even know it. But I'll know you're in a relationship still. Everything I do is going to be connected to your ex. No matter what I say or what I do, it's going to be a comparison. It's not going to be, oh, that's so cool that he's doing this. It's, oh, I wish so-and-so did this. Oh, so-and-so never did anything like this. And it's always going to be an unhealthy comparison. And if the person sitting across from you has any self-esteem at all, that relationship is doomed from the get-go. So that's one of the things. I can't believe I have to go through this so fast. Didn't yesterday's show seem really fast also? It seems so fast. Yesterday we were talking about the things that we love, the things and people that we love that are bad for us. And there were so many other things that I wanted to get to, and the show just seemed to go so fast. I would have loved to have done a whole extra piece on religion, spirituality, and gurus and all that stuff. And I know my buddy Meg mentioned it to me on the feedback as well. And Meg, I wanted to get to it. The show went so fast that I just couldn't get to it. And I'm sure I've gotten to it plenty of times during other shows, but it would have been a great place to put that as well. This show's going fast too. And we're talking about the dating scene. And so covering that one thing, that the fact that you're still stuck in your old relationship, that's a huge deterrent and poison in today's dating scene. And another thing, folks, and I know that we hate doing this, which is why I love bringing it up, calling yourself on your own bullshit. How many emails do I get that people say, oh, and it was such a bad relationship because he was so hard to talk to, or she was so hard to talk to, or he cheated and he was lying, and she cheated and she was lying, and he made me think that men are pigs, and she made me think that women are hoes, and whatever it is, and pointing fingers, and I always find it so humorous that while, yes, definitely some people's behavior is horrific and people react to things in horrific manners, but I always find it so humorous how rarely it is that we will take ownership for some of that behavior. In other words, you don't take ownership for their bad behavior, but you have to at some point say, all right, well, where was I an issue in this relationship? That's something that people aren't used to doing. Where was I an issue in this relationship? Where did I contribute to a feeling of anger or loneliness? It's so easy to say, oh, look, that chick cheated because she's a whore. Oh, look, that guy cheated because he's a pig. It's so easy to say that, and that conversation's always easiest because if you say anything other than that, I'll get a message from women. How dare you say it's okay to cheat and that it was anyway my fault that he couldn't keep it in his pants? And I'll get that from guys. How could you say, I gave this woman my whole life, and she went and cheated, and how could you say that it was anything but 100% her, and blah, blah, blah. I'll get those emails, and can I tell you, keep sending those emails, but you're wrong. You are wrong. I know it's unpopular to say. I know that nobody else says it because they're trying to sell you stuff. Well, here's the news. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you get out of your own way. So I'm going to say it again. In the tons of couples that I've dealt with, in the tons of couples that I've known, high profile, low profile couples that have gone through stuff, who have gone through challenging times, including cheating, it has never been, I have never talked to a guy who has said that, oh, I cheated on my wife because I just can't keep it in my pants. My wife was spectacular in every way, but I just can't keep it in my pants. I've never met a woman who said, oh, my husband was amazing in every way, but I couldn't help but be a whore. I've never, ever heard that. When you sit and speak with them, you see that there is a chain of events here. And yes, while their decisions are horrific and cowardly in many ways and in bad judgment, there's always a reason they have in their head. And suddenly you start hearing it. Well, you know, Steve, when we first met, she seemed super attracted to me, and she would tell me, and she would, more importantly, show me and this kind of stuff. And then suddenly now, Steve, she's running around the house in sweatpants all day, and she doesn't see, anytime she has sex with me, it seems like it's a burden, or that she's not interested in me, or blah, 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 blah. And the women listening now could have a million excuses, and excuses don't matter. It's the agreement of reality of the other person. So he'll continue. All right, so she was wearing sweatpants all day and didn't seem sexually interested in me and never really showed any interest in me at all, and blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly there was this woman at work, And she dressed nice every day, and she would tell me how handsome I was and how funny I was, and meanwhile, and how much she loved speaking with me. And meanwhile, I'd get home, and my wife would tell me to shut up and, you know, just be quiet and nag this, nag that, nag this, nag that. And this woman was talking to me and sharing with me and blah, 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 blah. And then it happened. Same with the women. Women, I know that you're getting wild right now, but it's the same on the flip side. The women who I've talked to have cheated. It's never, again, it's never, oh, that guy was impeccable and amazing, and I couldn't just help my whore-like self. That's never happened. It's an incredibly human story, like the other way, where the women say, well, we first together, he was buying me flowers, he was treating me like a woman, he was making sure that I knew I was pretty, he saw to make sure that I was happy, and he took care of me, and he was romantic, and he would sing to me, he'd write poetry, he would show interest in me, he would listen to me, and then he would take care of what he looked like, he make sure that whatever, and then what happened? Now he's only wearing sweatpants, and he's then sitting on the couch and watching TV, and he doesn't listen to me at all, and he's not even looking at me when I'm talking, and he's not showing interest, and there's no poetry, there's no romance, there's no, we're telling me I'm beautiful. Then there's a guy at work, and the guy at work keeps telling me how pretty I am, how nice I look, and he's listening to my stories, and I feel he's so much easier to talk to because he's actually looking at me and not flipping the channels while I'm talking, and he's telling me, oh, my husband must keep me up all night talking to me. Meanwhile, my husband's on the couch, and then the second he's off the couch, he's in bed and doesn't want anything to do with me. And then, Steve, it just happened. Now, fellas, I know you're saying, oh, but it's out of this, and I had a long day, and all. I know you have a million excuses, and again, it doesn't matter your excuses. What matters is their reality. And we all know that this is true, whether it's happened to you or not, we know that this is true. And the best thing we can do for ourselves is recognize where we contributed it. Recognize where we contributed to this. And say, yeah, you know what, you're right. I wear sweatpants all the time now, and I don't really show any sensuality, and no, I don't listen anymore, and no, I need to pay attention to this, and yes, maybe I do need to turn off the TV and take a listen, and maybe I have to participate more in this and maybe I can't be the exact same as I was, and they're not expecting the exact same. That they're expecting is an evolved version of it. You don't have to be the same. You don't have to keep going out and buying the flowers and all that, but you could still listen. You can have an evolved version of it. To show interest is different, you know. And the same with the ladies. You don't have to you don't have to have sex and be a wild animal five times a day. Life doesn't allow for that. Life evolves past that. But to show interest is same. You can evolve the way that you show interest. Evolve the way. And what's interesting about men and women is that they have different approach styles. A different approach style. So also be aware of our communications different. So, for example, so you're a woman and you don't feel that your husband's as romantic or your boyfriend or fiance is as romantic as he used to be, right? And what you'll do is you'll say something like, you'll hint at it. You won't say. You'll hint at it. And you'll say, Lucy got flowers at the office today. That was so nice. That must be such an amazing feeling. You're telling this dude, send me flowers to the office. But what you don't realize is that you're talking to a caveman. And you need to be direct. You can say, dude, send me flowers to the office. You have to do it. And you probably even have to say that five times. And that's just the way it is. You can complain, I shouldn't have to say. But you shouldn't have to. That's in your head. But you have to. There's a million things you could say I shouldn't have to do that you in life have to do, and that's what it is. And at the same time, fellas, you've got to also be, you tend to be, in your mind, it seems to make sense to you. So she's staring at you, talking to you while you're flipping through the channels. In your mind, you're saying, don't you know I've had a crazy-ass day? People talk to me all day long, and it's this and that, and I just want to sit here and scratch myself for a few minutes while I find out something ridiculous like baseball or something, and I just want to see someone throw a ball because I am, in fact, a caveman. Guys are thinking that, but they won't say it. It'll come out as ignoring or please be quiet, something crazy that's going to start a fight and hurt the more sensitive of the two. Instead, fellas, take a second and just acknowledge that there's another person there. Acknowledge that. And just say, hey, listen, I don't mean to be rude. Guys are cavemen and we can't. Women, you can have a million things going on in your mind at once. Guys can't. We separate everything. So I was just at work. And when you're at work, it's I'm at work. That's why he doesn't want to hear from you when he's at work. Because I'm at work. You're home. You'll have nothing to do with work. I'm in work brain right now. I'm at work. And I get home. Give me a second to adapt to home brain before I walk in the door and you're like, I can't even handle that. So guys need to say, listen, I'm structured different than you are, and just give me a second, and I love you. I want to hear your stories, but just give me a second to just not think. I'm a caveman. I'm not as socially adaptive as you are, and I just need a second. I just need a second. So that's how that works. And I know that there are people out there, a guy saying, I shouldn't have to say it, she should appreciate it. It has nothing to do with appreciation. It has to do with your different species. And I know there's women out there saying, I shouldn't have to say this. It is what it is. You shouldn't have to, but you do. You shouldn't have to, but you do. If you have been having that I shouldn't have to theory for how many years, and how is that working for you? It's not working for you. You know why? Because even though you feel you shouldn't have to, you do. So today's dating scene, there's 2 minutes left in this show. I went off on a tangent, I think. Today's dating scene sounds like it can be remedied like any relationship. The dating is a relationship. If even a brief one, it has the potentiality of a long one. And like every relationship, you have to have a foundation of truth. That is our greatest challenge as humans. Our greatest challenge as humans in relationships is having a foundation of truth. Can I be me? Can you be you? And will we make it work? If I am me and you are you and we're compatible, we can make anything work. It's when I stop being my truthful self, you stop being your truthful self, that things fall apart. That goes with having outdated versions of each other, not letting each other experience and grow together. All of those things fall in the category of not being yourself. Today's dating scene should be tackled like any other relationship should be tackled, with honesty, integrity, and understanding that the other person has been going through an entire life also, and that maybe if they do have some baggage and drama, you shouldn't judge them for it to the point where they feel they can't talk about it. They can't share about it. Life hits everybody in different ways. If we go in with acceptance and loving of ourselves, we'll be more willing and likely to accept and love others. When we do that, we have amazing relationships. When we don't, you already see what we have. Get out there, be unapologetically you, and hold firm to the fact that you know that no matter what you've been through, you're still here. And if you're out there and you're participating in the dating scene, I could assure you that you have incredible, incredible chances of finding somebody if you are your true self. And if you're not, you're going to find what you've been finding, someone who's not reacting well to the fictitious version of yourself. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Check out SteveMaraboli.com, abettertoday.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube. Get out there, make a difference today, and never forget this New Yorker loves you. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.